You're listening to ESL Podcast English Cafe, number 26. This is English as a Second Language Podcast, English Cafe, episode number 26. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff McQuillan, coming to you from the Center for Educational Development in beautiful Los Angeles in the state of California, here in the United States. On this cafe, we're going to talk about political parties in the United States. What are they called and what are they? We're also going to talk about how we should begin an email in English, and we'll answer some questions. Now let's get started. We normally don't talk about politics here on the English Cafe, but I have gotten lots of questions about the political parties in the United States, and so I thought I'd spend a few minutes talking about what they were and what they did. A party, P-A-R-T-Y, is of course a organization, a political group of people who tend to believe in the same things and support the same ideas. In the United States, the two most important political parties, really the two only parties of any significance, are the Democratic Party, D-E-M-O-C-R-A-T-I-C, and someone who is a member of the Democratic Party is called a Democrat. Well, there have been lots of famous Democrats. Bill Clinton was a Democrat. Jimmy Carter in the 1970s was a Democrat. Those were the two last Democratic presidents. The other major party in the United States is the Republican Party, R-E-P-U-B-L-I-C-A-N. And the Republican Party, if you are a member of the Republican Party, you're called a Republican. It's the same word. And Republican presidents include our current president, George W. Bush, his father, George Herbert Walker Bush, Ronald Reagan, and Richard Nixon were all Republican presidents. Generally speaking, the Democratic Party is more liberal in its politics. Liberal, L-I-B-E-R-A-L, in the United States means usually someone who wants more government action, more government spending, especially federal government involvement in different problems. That word liberal means different things in different countries. The Republican Party is a much more conservative, and to be conservative in the United States means, for example, that they want less government involvement, more local, state and local involvement, and less government spending in general. Those are some very general differences. We also use the term left and right to talk about political parties in English. A party of the left or a left-wing party, L-E-F-T hyphen W-I-N-G, would be a party that is very liberal. We sometimes use the expression, he's to the left of this other person, means he has more liberal ideas. Similarly, we talk about the right as being a conservative person. Someone says, I am a member of the right wing, that's a very conservative part of the political parties. There are conservative Democrats and there are liberal Republicans, but most Democrats are liberal and most Republicans are conservative. Our current president, George W. Bush, is definitely a conservative in his ideas. There are some what we call third parties in the United States, and a third party is a minor party, any party besides the big two. And there are lots of third parties. Some of them are very liberal, some of them are very conservative. The most famous one is the Green Party, the Green, G-R-E-E-N, Party. And this is a group of people who are very concerned about the environment. And that's one of their issues, one of their beliefs. They actually had a presidential candidate that got some votes. His name was Ralph Nader. And Ralph Nader was famous in the United States for being someone who was a consumer advocate. A consumer is someone who buys something, and an advocate, A-D-V-O-C-A-T-E, is someone who tries to protect or help another person. The majority, in fact, I think almost everyone in the government, the federal government, is either a Democrat or a Republican. There are very few independent politicians. It's very difficult to get elected unless you are a member of either the Republican or Democratic Party. You need money to win an election. You need to spend a lot of money, and most people don't have that kind of money to spend, so they need to get help. Here in California, we have a Republican governor, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, and we have a Democratic House and Senate, or our representatives are mostly Democrats. And that happens a lot. You'll have a conservative Republican as governor, but the what we call the legislature, L-E-G-I-S-L-A-T-U-R-E, the legislature are the representatives from all the different parts of the state. They, in California, are Democrats, and so that happens in many different states. I thought I'd talk a little bit also today about how you start an email, because I get lots and lots of emails from listeners of our podcast, from you. And these emails often ask me if they began their email correctly. Well, it's not very complicated in English. If it's a formal email, if you are writing an email to someone you don't know, it's very much like a letter. You would say dear, D-E-A-R, the title of the person, and the title, T-I-T-L-E, is either Mr., M-R, or Ms., M-S, period, for a woman. We can also use Mrs., M-R-S, period, although that's not as common. So it would be dear plus the title, Mr., Ms., could also be doctor, which would be DR, period. It could be father, which would be a priest in a Christian church, and that would be FR, period. Any of those are possible. After the title, we usually use the person's last name. So if the person's name is Ben Johnson, you would say, Dear Mr. Johnson. We would not say, Dear Mr. Ben. We never use the title in English in front of a first name only. You can use it in front of someone's first and last name. Dr. Ben Johnson or Mr. Ben Johnson, that's okay. Although if you are addressing an email, if you are starting an email or a letter, you wouldn't say usually, "Dear Mr. Ben Johnson." We would just say, "Dear Mr. Johnson." If it's a very formal letter or email, we often use a colon, two dots after the name. If it's more informal, we use a comma. Informal emails can use your first name, "Dear Ben," comma. It's also possible to say, "Hi," H-I, with an exclamation point. But that's usually for someone you know very well, and it's not as common. Even for informal emails, the most common form is to say, "Dear Ben," comma, or just "Ben," just the first name of the person. Those are all ways of beginning an email, either formal or informal. So if you write me an email, you can say, "Dear Jeff," comma. You could say, "Dear Dr. McQuillan," but, you know, "Dear Jeff," that's probably better, because we know each other. We've been together for a while, many of us, right? Now let's answer some questions. Our first question comes from Martin. Martin wants to know the meanings of the words even, E-V-E-N, and odd, O-D-D. Well, even is used for numbers, and numbers that you can divide by 2. So 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 156, 2,528. Those are all even numbers. An odd number are numbers like 1, 3, 5, 7, 269, 5,781. Those are all odd numbers. But the words even and odd have other meanings. Even is used sometimes to mean that things are the same or things are equal. So, for example, if you do something wrong to someone, they may be mad at you or angry at you, and they'll do something wrong to you. They'll try to get even, and the expression "to get even" means to have revenge. R-E-V-E-N-G-E, to try to hurt someone who has hurt you. And when they do that, they may say, "Now we are even," means we are the same. I have hurt you just like you hurt me. We very often use "even" as an adverb, and it's used to provide emphasis or to point out something that's very unusual or strange, something that is surprising or unexpected. Even the girls want to watch the baseball game. If you think that girls don't like baseball, which of course is not true necessarily, but if it's considered surprising to you, then you might say even. Even my father wants to go to the opera. Normally, he wouldn't go to the opera. It's surprising that he would want to go. Odd is also used to mean something that is strange. This is very odd as an adjective, or he's very odd. Means he's weird, he's strange, there's something wrong with that thing or that person. So thank you, Martin, for that odd question. No, it wasn't odd. It was a good question. Kimmy from Japan has a question about something I said on podcast number ESL podcast 144. We were talking about who pays at a dinner. The woman in the dialogue said to the man that she would stay away from this woman, meaning not be near this woman. That is, unless you don't mind being her sugar daddy. And Kimmy's question was, what does the word unless mean here? Well, we use the word unless when we want to say that the following statement is not true. We're going to say something that is false. So in this expression, unless you don't mind being her sugar daddy, the idea is that he does mind. Now, this is a kind of a confusing sentence because the expression to mind, M-I-N-D, means that it bothers you. To not mind means that it doesn't bother you. So if someone says, you don't mind being a sugar daddy, that means that it does not bother you. It's not important to you that you are a sugar daddy. You'll remember that sugar daddy is a man that pays for everything for a woman. Well, in this expression, we say, unless you don't mind being a sugar daddy, meaning here that the person probably doesn't want to be a sugar daddy. So it has a negative meaning. Another way of saying unless is except if. So we are making an exception, something that isn't normally true. Another example would be, unless you give me some money, I will not be able to buy my dinner. Another way of saying that is, if you do not give me any money, I will not be able to buy my dinner. But with unless, it has a negative meaning, even though there isn't a negative word in the phrase. Unless you give me money means if you do not give me money. Our final question comes from Quan, Q-U-A-N, Quan in Vietnam. Quan wants to know what the expression 6 feet under means. Six, S-I-X, feet, F-E-E-T, under, U-N-D-E-R. 6 feet under means that you are dead. So if someone says, I will not rest until I'm 6 feet under. The idea is that when they bury someone, when someone dies, they dig a hole for at least 6 feet. And the expression 6 feet under means that you are dead. There's actually a television show on one of the cable channels, and it's called 6 feet Under. And it's about a family that has a funeral home. A funeral home is a place where they prepare the dead body to be buried. And it's a very good television show. I've only seen a little bit of it, but it's very well written. Remember to visit our website at eslpod.com for more information about this podcast. From Los Angeles, I'm Jeff McQuillan. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on the English Cafe. ESL Podcast English Cafe is written and produced by Dr. Jeff McQuillan. This podcast is copyright 2006 by the Center for Educational Development.